Welcome to this week's Future Toolbox podcast. We explore the Z to A of life skills, where each letter stands for a topic and essential tool to help you get ahead in life. Meet Jules and Mark, creators of the multi-award-winning Future Toolbox, and enjoy their straightforward approach to creating growth mindsets that help people turn their dreams into realities. Whether you're a teen in education, a parent, a teacher, or part of a community group, start creating positive habits from today.
Hi, and welcome to our latest Z to A podcast with me, Jules, and Mark from the multi-award-winning Future Toolbox.
Hello.
Now, this is where we will pick a letter and a topic and discuss how you can use our tools to improve your own personal development and life. So, over to you, Mark, for this episode's letter.
So, this episode's letter is N for neurodiversity. And we're going to be talking a little bit about our journey at the Future Toolbox.
Yeah, now, March, to begin with, it's Brain Injury Awareness Month. So that's a dedicated time to spread knowledge and advocate for the people affected by brain injury. And secondly, we are in the midst of Neurodiversity Celebration Week, which is another significant period allowing us to acknowledge and appreciate the diversity of the human mind.
So on this episode, we're going to delve into the similarities between the challenges faced by brain injury survivors and the neurodiverse community, exploring the common ground between the two.
Yes, and that is something that we were unaware of until it's presented itself here at the Future Toolbox.
Absolutely. So question first of all to start with is, what is neurodiversity?
Well, I guess at its core, neurodiversity is used to explain how someone's brain is kind of structured and how it operates. Yeah, there are different ways that human brain works. People can be neurodivergent and what they call neurotypical. If you are neurodivergent, your brain functions differently from the, in inverted commas, common or neurotypical standard. What we don't want people to get confused with is the fact that all forms of brain functionings are valid and none is inherently superior or inferior to another. And we think it's really important to embrace the diversity of the human mind and to really value the difference on how each individual thinks, learns, and perceives their surroundings.
Yeah, you said a key thing there about valuing the differences and being individual in the way we think, learn, and perceive our surroundings. Now, a lot of people have a myth that they have to think a certain way, or they have to be a certain way, or even have to dress a certain way, or act a certain way. But this is actually about embracing the neurodivergent traits that maybe some of us actually display. So a lot of our regular listeners will know that I suffered a brain injury 12 years ago in a freak accident, and I've had to adapt every single day to these side effects. Now, I went through a range of different stages. In the very, very early days, I didn't realise there was actually any changes. So this was a stage of just progressing with life with a very sore head, putting it bluntly. But as time started to pass on, I realised that it was harder to think. Sometimes things take a little bit longer to get there. And then when I started to realise that I was suffering with concentration issues, memory issues, and even the ability to sometimes string a sentence together or get words right, then I went through another stage of non-acceptance and really, really pushing to think, I need to get back to what this was before, what my brain was before I suffered this trauma. Now, I guess I'm at a stage where there's more higher acceptance of the challenges that I'm going to suffer each day. So, for example, fatigue is massive. I know that I have to switch off and rest sometimes. I have to switch my brain off and give it a bit of self-care by sometimes just doing nothing or even going and laying down and having a nap or something like that. So now, today, it's about understanding and accepting the limitations that I may have with the brain injury and looking at ways to move forward and not go backwards to, well, it used to be like this years ago.
Yeah. There's been many changes since the brain injury, like OCD that you never used to present in your daily routine, but now it's there and it's a part of our world. And it is about understanding, accepting, and yeah, embracing and running with it. But there are other types of neurodivergent conditions, such as autism, ADHD, dyslexia, Tourette's, for example. And definitely the ADHD very much now is a part of our life from the brain injury.
Yes. So one of the biggest traits that I have from ADHD is the distractions of other noises. So I could be sitting in a coffee shop, and I always refer to the coffee shop quite a lot.
And you don't even drink coffee.
I don't even drink coffee.
It's bizarre.
But yeah, I could be sitting there in a coffee shop or a restaurant or a busy place, and the person in front of me, could be yourself, could be somebody else, having a conversation, but I can actually hear what's going on over the other side of the room in somebody else's conversation. Now, I'm not an eavesdropper. You know, I'm not sitting there thinking that person over there is much more interesting than me. But the noise that sometimes comes from another source is a lot more powerful into my brain than the noise that's right in front of me, the bit that I should be concentrating on. I also get very, very distracted very, very easily by lots of things. So I can sit down and say, right, I'm going to work on this task today. I'm going to work on preparing a podcast, for instance. And an hour later, I've done about five or six other things very, very badly because my mind will just jump from one thing to another, or I'll get up and walk around the room or something like that. So, yeah, it's definitely a similarity. I've not been diagnosed with any ADHD or similar sort of traits, but I can see where the massive link is, and I'm sure that I probably would be.
Yeah, and recently acquired and traumatic brain injuries have been recognised as neurodiverse conditions. And that's because surviving the brain injury can change how a person's brain functions. And we've lived with that and learnt that over the years. And as we've mentioned before, in the early days, we weren't informed that this is something that could happen. And it was very, very difficult for us because we didn't understand what was happening, why the changes were. But now that this is all out there, one of the things that we're very, very keen to do is to make sure people are aware of this is what might happen when you've had a brain injury. Some of the common challenges, you know, you've said a few, but like cognitive ones, brain injury sufferers face challenges like memory impairment. That's something we struggle with constantly. I'm never quite sure sometimes whether it's a brilliant excuse if you've forgotten what I've asked you to do. But yeah, definitely, the memory is a big one, isn't it?
It is. One thing I will say here, joking aside, I would never use it as an excuse, and you know that. And it is real, real difficult for the person on the other side to sometimes think that you're just playing on your condition or something like this. So guys out there, if you suffer from any of these conditions, please don't play on them. I would always put that out there. I never, ever play on mine at all. I just know it's something that's there, and it really, really hurts when something happens and I can't remember that it's happened. The worst thing is it generally tends to be really, really, really important bits of information, really important conversations that just go out of my mind, whereas completely useless or futile or nice and fluffy stuff, whichever way you put it, sometimes that will stay in my mind. And I think, how did I remember that? But I forgot that. And that's really important. And that could be something that's let somebody down. It could be something that has caused an issue to somebody that's not me. That sometimes really hurts inside because I think, oh no, why did I do that?
Yeah, and it's generally the closest people to you is the people that, you know, you have possibly let down or forgotten. And it's a very, very difficult situation to live with. And we've just having to learn to live with it and understand it and really try not to allow it to affect our relationship.
Yeah, another issue which is massive for me in cognitive challenges is sometimes problem solving. Now, I've always been really, really good at logically working things out, but form filling, and I've mentioned this in previous podcasts as well, filling in a form or creating a complicated document can sometimes just be absolutely brain draining for me. And I can't sometimes put the steps together. So it could go 1, 2, 3. I'll go 1, 1A, 1B.
Well, you don't even go 1A. Yeah. You go all the way to 159 or something.
Yeah, that's right. Or put a number 4 in there or something like that. Yeah. And it is really, really random because, again, it can be one of the simplest tasks. And yeah, it's a real struggle and something that I'm always really, really aware of and very, very conscious of. The solution to that really is to get somebody to help me or get somebody else to fill the form in.
Well, it's not just about forms, is it? No. We were in the supermarket the other day. We were choosing avocados and there was two ways you could buy them and you couldn't work out which was the best offer. So in the end, I just said, we're having those and let's just move on, because you were struggling and I just wanted to get the shopping done.
That is very true. And you actually beat me to it, because I was going to talk about tomatoes. What absolutely amazes me with supermarkets, and we were in the supermarket the other day and I counted, there was 18 different varieties of tomatoes at different prices. I couldn't decide which ones to buy.
So I just do it.
Yeah, so please, supermarkets out there, make it easier for neurodiverse people to be able to buy their tomatoes.
But it's not just cognitive challenges that anybody with a neurodiverse condition suffers with. Sensory sensitivities, for want of a better word, and that was quite difficult to say, is something that is very, very high. So both groups can have extra sensitivity to things that you may see or hear or even touch or taste, which sometimes can be really overwhelming.
Yes, I have a very high sensitivity to temperatures. So something that is very, very hot is very, very hot to me. Now, you could pick up a plate and pass it to me and I'll drop the plate and go, oh my goodness, this is really, really hot. And it's not at all, because my brain is perceiving it's hotter than it is. And I'm also the same with cold as well. If I feel something that's really cold, it will really hurt. It almost feels like the opposite sensation. It's burning my hands as well, because it's so, so cold. Yeah. So yeah, definitely something that I experienced there.
But I know quite a number of people that with the sensory, the touch or the taste or the texture of either clothing or even food can be really overwhelming for them, and to the point that they can't wear certain things or they can't eat things because they can't cope with the texture. So that's something to be aware of. But as well, other things, and you have this and you mentioned this, is loud noises or bright lights. They can become too intense for somebody with a brain injury or a neurodiversity condition.
Yeah, as mentioned before, the coffee shop with the lots of noises going on, but also very loud noises, big bangs, yeah, and even bright lights that are sort of shining in my face, or flashing lights or strobe lights or anything like that. Yeah, they're really, really difficult.
Other scenarios is social interaction difficulties that can occur. You mentioned about struggling to stay focused on conversations because you're trying to talk to somebody, but you can hear something else going on. That can kind of, I guess, lead to feeling maybe it's a bit out of place or a bit uncomfortable because you can't focus.
Yeah, it can be difficult to say to somebody, I'm really struggling to understand what you're saying. I had a friend say to me very recently that I thought you were being rude many years ago and just not listening to me because you were looking over my shoulder all the time, or you were looking around the room. And yeah, the eye contact can sometimes disappear a little bit. So that can be a real challenge.
Yeah, and that whole communication then falls down, doesn't it? And again, that explaining what you're feeling or what you're understanding to somebody else who hasn't got a brain injury or a neurodiverse condition, that can be really difficult for them to understand, because they'll look at you and think, well, you're fine. You look absolutely, there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah. There's people say, oh yeah, that's okay. I get tired too, or I struggle with concentration, or I struggle with memory and whatever. And that, again, people are just being very kind when they say that. I tend to dismiss those comments as kindness, as opposed to, oh, you don't understand, you're really ignorant or whatever.
Yeah, so I guess it's that kind of stigma and misunderstanding, and that causes issues in relationships, whether that's boyfriend-girlfriend type relationships or family relationships, and it can easily break down because of that misunderstanding.
And overall, the biggest challenge that we are talking about here is all of these things are invisible. Mm. They're not easy to spot. So if somebody's looking over your shoulder and looking around the room, they're not being rude, because there is something not functioning correctly in their brain. If somebody's really tired and really fatigued, and again, I've found this really difficult, is when you're having a conversation or you're sitting in a meeting, and it could be a really important business meeting, and fatigue kicks in and my eyes glaze over and I'm sitting there thinking, what is this person thinking? I can't yawn now, but I want to yawn. They don't realise that there's something hidden behind that's going on in my brain that is starting to shut it off, because you're throwing information at me, you're giving me lots of information, and taking on board that information is just totally wiping me out. So the hidden disability is a word that is now becoming more well known in the world, and people are becoming more aware of it. And if you can be aware of hidden disabilities and just show the empathy or the understanding to somebody who may be suffering, but maybe not confront them, because again, from my own personal point of view, I don't know that these things are happening sometimes.
No.
I don't know that I've completely forgotten something. if I've completely forgotten it, I have no memory of it, it's really, really hard to go, oh yeah, I remember that now, because this information has just been taken from my mind and shredded and put somewhere else because it just doesn't exist to me. Yeah. It's really, really difficult.
And sometimes the behaviour, you are not aware that you're maybe doing that. For example, sometimes you don't mean to, but you stare at people. And I think you just fixate. You're not staring at them, but you're sort of gone off on in almost like in a little trance. And it looks like you're staring at people. And I just have to sort of hold your hand and nudge you and say, you know, you're staring at that gentleman sat in the corner over there. Do you not want to do that? You might get a bit freaked out.
I don't want to end up in a bar fight or something like that.
So there's all sorts of different things that can happen, you know, things like motor coordination. So people might struggle with balance and coordination. And a big one is emotional regulation. Again, people lose sometimes the barriers and say things that may be a little bit inappropriate, but it's accepting the fact that they're not meaning to be inappropriate. It's the way they work, and it's absolutely fine.
Yeah, and again, a final personal one that I'm just going to share there is my emotions can go up and down sometimes. So if I'm challenged, I can just feel like my whole confidence can fall through the floor, or if I've done something wrong, I feel like I could just burst into tears. And that can be really, really debilitating at that moment, because all of a sudden you go into a massive defensive mode and think, I'm the worst person in the world ever. I don't want to be the bad guy anymore. I'll say it again. It's difficult to deal with.
It is. So here at the Future Toolbox, we are very keen to support neurodiversity and to encourage and support people to achieve your dreams, your goals, everything you want, regardless of whatever you feel that could be holding you back. Being neurodivergent really isn't a limitation. And sometimes being neurodivergent makes you the most amazing person.
Oh, thank you.
I wasn't talking about you.
Oh, no. But joking aside, it does. You need to embrace the gifts and everything that you have and embrace the person that you are. One of the biggest things for me was to focus on what I could do and not what I couldn't do.
Yeah.
To focus on the ways of moving forward with the goals. Now, one of our biggest mantras that we put into our life a few years ago is how to live life on our own terms and not let a brain injury own me or own both of us. It was about looking at ways we could move forward and deal with the challenges that we face every single day. So I needed to find a business that would allow me to nap in the afternoons if I could. I needed to live in a place that's quiet. I needed to find things that stimulated and gave me the buzz every single day. But this wasn't about me. It's about us. It's about me and Jules creating a life balance and living life on our own terms. So look at ways to set your goals, look at ways to focus on the things that you want in life and not the things that you don't want. Now, obviously, at the Future Toolbox, we have loads and loads of programs around setting goals and resilience and even ways to make revision and study easy and fun for neurodiverse teens. So look at ways to move forward in your life.
One thing that we're hugely keen on is incorporating self-care into your routine, because you need to do that. You need to look after yourself so that you can tackle life's sort of ups and downs. So we have the Future Toolbox, but the Future Toolbox has created our Brain or Shine community as well. So that's a platform that is designed to help individuals, families, friends and work colleagues understanding how to live with the life-changing effects of a traumatic injury, but these hidden disabilities that neurodiversity can present. So we have the Future Toolbox to help you with that and the Brain or Shine as well.
So I'm going to give you two websites. So our Brain or Shine for the brain injury community is simply brainorshine.com. And if you want tools for the Future Toolbox, go to our website, which is futuretoolbox.co.uk. You can also find us on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok.
TikTok.
We also have a YouTube channel for both platforms, and we are on LinkedIn because we are...
We are everywhere.
Irrespective of anything, remember to embrace the uniqueness of the person that you are, and we look forward to catching you in the next episode. We'll see you very soon.
Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Z2A of Life Skills with Jules and Mark of the Future Toolbox. Don't forget to head over to their website, which is futuretoolbox.co.uk, where you can find lots of free resources, plus a host of books in the store, as well as subscribing to the membership site. Follow Future Toolbox Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Future Toolbox, and subscribe to their YouTube channel too.